Hi, this is Herb Montgomery with Renewed Heart Ministries, and I want to welcome you to this week's weekly podcast. This week, our feature text is Matthew 5, verse 5, where Jesus says, "Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Now, this week, I want to look at an emphasis in the teachings of Jesus that many miss today. Today, those who bear Christ's name, Christians, are largely known, and once again, praise God for the few exceptions, but they're largely known as being focused on obtaining their ticket to heaven so that they can just get out of here. They sing songs like, "This world is not my home, I'm just a passing through." And what we have to realize, however, is that this mindset, this idea of escaping this planet rather than making a difference in people's lives here today, this mindset is strangely absent from the Jesus story itself. And that's what we're going to be looking at. Well, what do we find in the Jesus of the Jesus story? And we have to allow ourselves to be confronted by this difference. Follow with me closely. Ponder the following three passages, and I want you to notice their emphasis. The first one is Matthew 5:13, where it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot." In Matthew 6:10, Jesus teaches us to pray, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." In Matthew 5:5 again, Jesus says, "It's the meek, and the meek will inherit the earth." There's a strange focus, not on heaven in the Jesus story, but on bringing restoration to our home here, not just ecologically, but in the lives of people. Jesus wasn't so concerned, we'll talk about this in a moment, in getting people to heaven, but bringing heaven to people. In modern preaching, we find ministers bellowing weekly from their pulpits, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit heaven." And this is a subtle departure from the early church that began with the introduction of Gnosticism, what some call within Christian history's first great heresy to burn through the church. Gnosticism, for those who have studied this early phenomenon, is an unhealthy preoccupation with escaping earth and getting to heaven. What we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is that Jesus was not focused on getting people, as I said a moment ago, out of this place to some far distant heaven. Instead, Jesus was focused on bringing that far distant heaven in the minds of people, in the mind's eye of the people he was ministering to. That far distant heaven, he was interested in bringing that very close, bringing it to earth. In other words, Jesus wasn't focused on getting people to heaven, but instead bringing heaven to people. And this traces back to the ancient Hebrew Genesis narrative itself. In Genesis 1:26, it says, "Then God said, 'Let us make human beings in our image, in our likeness, so they may rule over the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" God, according to the Hebrew narrative, made this earth and then gave it to us as our original home. We had dominion over this earth, which we lost to God's enemy in the Genesis narrative. Again, you can find that in Genesis chapter 3. But we get all the way down to the Jesus story, and what we find in Luke 4, 5 through 7, chapter 4, verses 5 through 7, is in Jesus' temptations, it says, "The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, 'I will give you all their authority and splendor. It has been given to me.'" And remember, this was by humanity in the beginning. "And I give it to anyone I want to. If you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus also repeatedly refers to the devil or God's enemy here as the ruler of this world. In John 12:31, he does this. In John 14:30, he does it. In John 16:11, he calls him the ruler of this world. Jesus saw his mission as being to save us and our home here from the enemy's oppressive reign, and he sought to restore us and our home once again to the original kingship of himself. You can find this in Colossians 1:13. Now, I find it also beautiful that after Jesus' death and resurrection, his life, death, and resurrection, at the end of his life, when he's about to ascend back to heaven, he makes this statement to his apostles. It's found in Matthew 28:18-19. "Then Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, notice here that Jesus is actually quoting the devil in the wilderness, saying that through his death and resurrection, his life mission had met its climax, and that all that the enemy claimed as his own, Jesus had now won back, and he was giving back to us. John 2, you can find this too in Luke 11, 21 and 22. Now, John 2 ends his climax of canonical prophecy, the book of Revelation, with God not taking us to some heaven to spend eternity with him, but rather the breathtaking picture of God coming here to spend eternity with us. It's in Revelation 21, 2 through 3. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." Again, Jesus, contrary to many who bear his name today, he lived in a headspace of bringing heaven to earth, not getting those from earth to some heaven beyond. Now, I also want to address a rumor that's circulating about myself this week, personally, and about Renewed Heart Ministries. It's usually not my policy to track down and correct every rumor that circulates about me. Typically, I just simply let rumors run their course, and those who spread them run their course, and just let honest thinking people think through things with the hope that they would come and actually talk with me, rather than what many often do as just talk about me if they have questions. But some today are saying that Herb doesn't believe in heaven, and nothing could be further from the truth. I absolutely believe in heaven. However, I do not believe that Jesus teaches us to call heaven our home. Being a Jesus follower, if we're actually going to follow the Jesus of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it means being about restoration rather than relocation. Now, some Christians today believe that we will spend some time in heaven at some stage of the process in our transition from this present evil age to the age to come. You find this language of present evil age and age to come used in Galatians 1:4 and Ephesians 1:21. And also, it has to be noted as well, and I'm aware of this, that there are followers of Jesus who hold to an eschatology, an end-time belief, that doesn't even include us ever going to heaven, but that when Jesus returns to this earth, it will be to reign here and for his followers to reign with him. But nevertheless, for this week, I want to address those who believe that we will spend some time in heaven at some point. And there are some differences among the beliefs in modern Christianity about our potential time in heaven, if that should be the way it works out. And I want to address all three of these this week. Number one, some believe that we actually go to heaven when we die at death, and that when Jesus returns, he's only coming back to pick up everyone down here still living and take them to heaven so that we can all together spend eternity in heaven with him. And this is the headspace of "this world is not my home, I'm just a passing through," that I honestly, in its entirety, I find absolutely no resonating notes in the Jesus story itself, in my opinion. And I'm sorry if you see differently. I don't see it. Number two, some Christians today, some followers of Jesus today, believe that the time we spend in heaven will be between death and his return, but that when Jesus returns, we will all spend eternity ultimately here on earth and the earth made new. Number three, other followers of Jesus believe that death is a sort of sleep waiting for a future resurrection. Martin Luther, as well as some of the Anabaptists, such as Michael Sattler in the 16th century, believed in this, that the resurrection would take place at Jesus' return. And then we'll spend a temporary time in heaven. Now, not everyone in the 16th century believed this part, but we'll spend a temporary time in heaven until a third return of Jesus to this earth to spend eternity on this earth in an earth made new. Now, I want to address especially this second and third view above. Regardless of which of the two views you hold above, in regards to my point this week, it's actually mute. And again, I'll add that for option number one, I want to talk about just two and three. Option number one, I can't find any evidence for this in the New Testament at all, in its entirety. I can't find any evidence for it. But in both two and three, whichever of those two some may hold, I want those who believe one of these two options to notice this, that our potential time in heaven, even if we do go there at some point, is only temporary. Stop and just think about this. Your time on earth is not temporary. This is your home. We lost it to God's enemy, and Jesus rescued it back for us. This is in Revelation 12:10 and 11:15. And even if we do at some point spend some portion of time in heaven, our time in heaven is temporary. It will be there that we'll sing in heaven, for those who believe that we'll spend some portion of time there. It will be in heaven that we sing this heaven, this place, heaven is not my home. I'm just a passing through. We're going to be once again spending eternity right here. So as a follower of Jesus, we should not be living as if this world is not my home. And we can begin today by simply no longer saying the statement, we're just passing through. This world is our home, and we have a lot of work yet still to do. God's will is not being done today on earth as it's done in heaven yet. And we are called to put on display what life on this earth under the kingship of Jesus does look like, to put on display what Paul calls the age to come. To put on display what that looks like within this present evil age. It's the Baranasha, the new humanity founded in Jesus that we talked about last week. It's what Jesus called the kingdom, which Jesus commanded us to proclaim. This is the gospel, that the kingdom has come. Now, heart group application this week. Number one, I want you guys to ponder these two following texts. Luke 9, verse 2, he sent them out proclaiming the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We live in a sick world, and as a Jesus follower, our first concern should not be to leave this world behind, but to bring healing to our sick, to the sick world around us. Jesus gave us a way to be conduits of healing to this world. He set in motion. He gave us a way to set in motion healing, and we must be about restoration, not relocation. In addition, I want you to look at this verse, Philippians 1, 23 through 26, where Paul says, I am torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far, but it is far more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, and I will continue with all of you for your progress and joy in the faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. Some view this verse as saying Paul was faced with dying to go to heaven, or some view it as Paul was being offered translation like the Hebrew patriarch Enoch or the Hebrew prophet Elijah. Regardless, I want you to notice Paul's headspace. He had the option to relocate, and notice the options before him was to relocate and be with Jesus, or to remain here and continue in the ministry of restoration and healing and growing in what it means to follow Jesus. And which did Paul choose? I want you to think of that. Which was he more concerned with? Number two, this week, write down any perceptions, thoughts, feelings, paradigm shifts Jesus gives you during your time of meditating on these texts. And number three, as always, be prepared to share and discuss openly and respectfully any of your insights or your questions or your fears or beautiful thoughts this coming week with your heart group together on what you've learned as you look at this topic. In short, this world is our home. We're not just passing through. We are here to stay. Even if we do spend some time in the future elsewhere, it will be that location that we will just be passing through. We're spending eternity right here, and eternity starts now. The kingdom has come. This kingdom, which is a radical new way of doing life, that's based on a radical new way of seeing God, seeing ourselves, and seeing everyone else around us, this kingdom we're to proclaim has come. We are called to put on display what the age to come in Ephesians 1, 21 looks like in the here and now. We're called to be, and we'll talk about this more later, possibly next week, we're called to be weeds, like the mustard plant was. We're called to be weeds in a garden, subversively crowding out with one heart at a time this present evil age. You find this in Luke 13, 19, and Galatians 1, 4. It's much to think about this week for sure. It's a paradigm shift if you can get your head around it. For all of you out there listening this week, keep living in love, loving like Christ. Now go out there and enlarge the kingdom. I love you guys. We'll see you next week.